Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So a couple comments. One is it's very exciting, the opportunities that some of this new sensor technology is presenting to us. So just in a general sense, you know, these GPS sensors, these cutaneous sensors on the skin that can detect different biomarkers, you know, within your blood, track your sleep patterns, all these type of things, these sensors that a lot of athletes are wearing are helping us collect a lot of data. Now, the challenge is with these sensors, you know, the sensor technology has exploded the last 10 years. We need to catch up on our understanding what that information, that data, what it means, you know. That's why a lot of these, bioinformatics people are studying on, because these sensors create these reams and reams of data, and you got to sort it out on what the clinically relevant, what to mean for the best care of the athlete. So part of these sensors are these accelerometers, these sensors that are being put in helmets. And the accelerometers keep getting smaller and better. I think it's Riddell, they're starting to incorporate these sensors, like instead of adding onto the helmets, like they incorporate it into the construction of the helmet. So just making it easier and technologically even better. So that's all good. It's exciting. It's giving us more information, more tools on learning how to best take care of our athletes. So let me stop there. Do you want me to just keep going? Do you want to stop the questions?
I'm just going to throw in there. Is it actually making the game safer, or is it just a fancy marketing tech, you know, ploy by the helmet company?
So no question, the public's very, very concerned about concussion, and rightly so. You know, it's really captured the public's imagination. It's one of these health and safety issues for athletes that essentially everybody in, you know, the lay public understand. I think you're aware that, you know, people are concerned that these moms don't want their sons playing football, and they're worried about pee wee football and youth football. Enrollment is starting to drop because they're concerned about concussion. Now, so I think understanding concussion is important. We need to learn more data. We know that some people develop, you know, some devastating long-term sequelae from having had, you know, concussions. I think the questions that we need to investigate, and I think we need to do some research to learn more about regarding concussion, is one, who's at risk? You know, some people play a lot of football, bang their heads around, never have any, you know, long-term cognitive problems or dementia-type problems at all. Other people seem to be a little more prone, so who's at risk? Another research question would be, how do we detect when someone's starting to go down that path of, you know, chronic long-term cognitive, you know, brain function problems? And if we can identify, ooh, you're starting down a path, well, then maybe you should stop. Or maybe there's some kind of marker we can look at and say, gee, you've been playing football for 6 or 8 years and everything looks good, no problems. So how do we detect someone early in that pathway? Next is, how do we definitively diagnose that someone has a concussion, which is by a lesser question, not a clinical diagnosis. I think we usually determine when someone's concussed. But a better question is, how do we know when they're exactly recovered, fully recovered, so we can actually clear them and return to play? And is there an objective way to really sort out when they've recovered? And then another research question would be, well, how do we speed that recovery? How do we, you know, help them, you know, recover from that concussion that they had even faster? So those 4, 5, 6 questions just ran off to you. Those are very key questions that people are studying now.
And do you think that these helmets are actually accurate at detecting a hit that might result in concussion and give the coaches a little bit more insight as far as where their players stand as far as helmet? Are they accurate in your estimation?
So we talked about the old sensor thing, and then we're just talking about concussion now, specifically within sensor and concussion, talking about these helmets.
Yeah.
So, yes, the accelerometers, I think, are technically, scientifically, you know, I'm sure they perform at a very precise and accurate level, but they're very good technically. Just because someone has a significant blow to the head, or they call it an acceleration, you know, there's different types of acceleration. There's linear acceleration and rotational acceleration. Rotation is where your head spins, linear, where it's, change of direction in a straight line. So those are two different types of acceleration. We're starting to understand more the implications of, is one worse than the other? There's some evidence out there that rotation acceleration is worse than linear, straight line acceleration. So we're starting to learn more about that. But just because you have a blow to the head, or just because you have an acceleration, doesn't mean you have a concussion. So the accelerator, the accelerometers, these smart helmets, I'm sure the manufacturer clearly at some point will state, yes, this helmet or this accelerometer does not diagnose concussion. I'm sure they make that disclaimer because it does not diagnose concussion. Diagnosis of concussion is a clinical diagnosis. You need to examine the patient and say, yes or no, they looks like they have a concussion. We do know that blows to the head and accelerations can cause concussions, and this helmet can detect blows and accelerations to the head. In that sense, yeah, it can help us understand exposure. But another exposure question we have is, we used to think, big accelerations or big blows to the head cause big concussions, and that can cause big problems later in life. Right. Now there's some evidence that a lot of little concussions can cause a problem. All right, so is it little concussions? Some people at risk, they just have a little blow to the head, and they start to have concussion symptoms. Others have a big blow, and they don't have any symptoms. So the magnitude of the blow may or may not be absolute, or how important that is. Is it the number of blows, a bunch of little ones, 10 little ones, is worse than, one big one? We don't know, so we're learning all that.
Sorry. You as a diagnostician, when you're looking at the data coming off these helmets and with the Insight technology that Riedel's using and that sort of thing, are you able to use that in your diagnosis and go, okay, this person may have a problem later down the road where you need to monitor this player more closely? Do you actually use that data in your prognosis?
I think the strongest use on the immediate clinical care of the athlete with these sensors, I think, is, we start to have some normative data. What's normal data? If you're an offensive lineman or tight end or whatever, we start to get a sense of what kind of a normal acceleration pattern they see in a game or a practice or a season. And if it looks like this particular individual has increased number of accelerations to their helmet, or we assume that the helmet's accelerating the brain is too, that maybe there's a technique issue there. Johnny, compared to all the other tight ends, you seem to have a lot of accelerations, yet your smart helmet's picking up and telling us it's going through. You may have a technique problem here. We need to change how you play the game. I think that's a real direct, immediate, very useful use of that data. I also think collecting that data and kind of matching it up with clinical outcomes, prospectively collecting this data, saying, okay, here's the history of all these different players' accelerations, and kind of, hey, who had concussions, who had a speedy recovery from the concussion, who had later in life started having more problems, correlating their pattern of acceleration as detected by their accelerometer and how they do clinically. I think that's immensely important. Now, that takes a lot of work and man hours to collect that data, but I think that's hugely valuable.
What I found was interesting, I'm getting ready to speak with him here shortly, but Riedel is actually being able to take that data from these helmets, and they're using it in future designs. They're able to take data from these helmets and actually design a helmet directly for a specific player. Do you think this is the future, and this is where everything's going to go from now on, that, this is kind of the new thing?
Yeah, so so once you get this acceleration data, now you can either identify players who seem to have a high risk, techniques or play patterns, like I mentioned earlier, or you may be able to say, now that we understand this, we can kind of change the designs of our helmets, either to make it a generally better helmet to absorb these accelerations, or maybe for different individuals, can they personalize these helmets to either an individual or to a position, saying, hey, offensive linemen, we've noticed with our data that they see these kind of accelerations, so we're going to modify a helmet for them. Yes, now, I haven't seen that. I haven't talked to Riedel people about it, but I can see where they would go down that route. That would be helpful, yes.
Let me ask you this. Are there any other technologies out there, as if things are getting smarter, they're of course not going to eliminate concussions, but they're making playing the game safer. You're not taking necessarily the harder blow. You're able to not get necessarily the vibration, the jarring that you might get from a hit. Are there things out there that are making it safer?
Yes, I think there's obviously a lot of work, a lot of research, a lot of interest going into this area. To get hard scientific data that your intervention worked, that's always a little tricky to get that firm scientific evidence. There can be some, evidence that kind of is indicative. There could be things that are intuitive. Gee, I understand science, I understand football, I understand concussions, and this makes sense that this should help. But to show that it actually helps, that's a lot of work. So you're going to see in this area that, people looking at mouse guards. For a while, everyone's excited about mouse guards, and they started looking at the real hard data. Then all of a sudden, that became less impressive. The mouse guard can make any difference, but that's the process. That's kind of how our society works. We identify a problem, we kind of study the problem, we throw out some potential, solutions to the problem, and we kind of study those solutions, see how they're effective, and it kind of keeps evolving and getting better. We're in the midst of doing all of that. So everything from rules changes to changing the drills we do in practice, to monitoring these guys and seeing who's at risk, to using these smart helmets to look at, hey, gee, you're getting a lot of blows compared to your counterparts. All those things are helping. Hydration, other newer technologies. All that stuff's good.
So it's just getting the coach a tons more data about how well their athlete is actually doing. How well is this going to change the game in the future? To me, it's going to, allow you to build a better player.
Yeah, exactly. So no question, as the data is collected, we need to be smart how we use it and how we analyze it, but it should make our players, improve their health and safety so they can play, have longer careers, more successful careers, and play longer. Yes.
All right, well, Dr. Keating, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate it.
I hope that was helpful, and let me know if you have any other questions.
Will do, and very much so. Thank you, sir.
Take care. Have a great
Thank
day.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.